Welcome to our podcast, Raising the Aviation Bar. A Eurocontrol podcast that explores the stories of the people who are transforming European aviation. From the ground to the sky.
Hello, my name is Anita Zech, and in today's episode of the Eurocontrol Raising the Aviation Bar podcast, we will be speaking about diversity, equity, and inclusion in the aviation sector. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are top strategic priorities, not just for aviation, but in fact for any sector that is competing for the best talent to deliver on its business goals. In order to dig deeper into this topic, I am delighted to be joined by two Eurocontrol experts who are raising the bar for aviation to achieve greater diversity and inclusive working environment. Milena Bowman is an economist and works as an executive manager for airspace systems and procedures at Eurocontrol's Maastricht Upper Area Control Center. Tamara Pejovic has a PhD in air transport engineering and works as a senior aviation expert in our aviation sustainability unit. They both have shown great personal initiative and are extremely active in advancing these issues to reach a wider audience. Welcome to both of you and thank you for joining this podcast.
Hi, Anita. It's great to be here and thanks for inviting me and Tamara.
Hi, Anita, and thanks for the invite.
Both of you have long-standing careers in aviation, and while your areas of expertise are different, you have both distinguished yourselves in standing up for more diversity, equity, and inclusion. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why this topic means so much to you? Milena, could you start us off?
As you said, I'm an economist by education, but I've been spending my working life mostly in air traffic control. I worked in Bulgaria and then I worked in Emirates. And I clearly remember when I came into Eurocontrol at the interview, I had a warning and they told me it's a great interview. We're considering to give you the job, but we think that you have 98% chance to fail. And a failure because of cultural differences. Now, that didn't happen. I accepted the job and I enjoyed a very good career in Eurocontrol. But what stayed with me is the fact that the recruiters at the time gave me the chance to start working here, even though, as you say, I'm economist by education. And because of people surrounding me, I could make a very good career here. So my drive is to enable chances, to enable other opportunities for people to work and enjoy a fruitful life in Eurocontrol and in aviation.
Thank you very much, Milena. Tamara, over to you and your amazing work as part of Aviation for All. What made you get involved in driving the agenda for more diversity and inclusion?
Well, it's similar to Milena. I think there are always personal reasons behind it. It started quite early when I was the student in the United States. I have joined the Association of Women in Aviation because even as a student or a young professional, I could see that the world around me and in the classroom don't resemble the environment in which I live in. And now, a couple of years forward, I joined, obviously, Eurocontrol. And through Eurocontrol, I'm lucky that I have been involved in several initiatives, such as Eurodiversity Group at Eurocontrol, being part of the Women in Transport Platform for Change, being also one of the three Eurocontrol diversity ambassadors, and several other initiatives. But also, I have been extremely lucky that in 2018, I met some very like-minded people who are also very much passionate about the diversity and inclusion. And we have decided to found the nonprofit organization called Aviol, or Aviation for All, with a simple aim to improve the situation in aviation industry when it comes to D&I. But personally, what actually pushed me to found this association is that as I have been challenged many times throughout my career, and I found so many obstacles because of cultural differences or gender bias, I wanted to change this path for maybe some young people coming into aviation industry. And if I managed to do this only for one single person, that's a job done for me. Because in aviation in general is to me at least, all about the freedom and connecting people. So by its nature, it should be diverse.
Absolutely. Now, Eurocontrol is an international civil-military technical organization, and we do have many different nationalities among our staff. But I guess we could probably even be more diverse and inclusive. What do you think? What are the biggest challenges?
If I can step in here, we have to speak about diversity, inclusion, and equity. Diversity is a fact. Diversity is something you have or you don't have, and it is the number of people, the different nationalities, the different races, sexual orientation, education, socioeconomic background. That is a fact. That's the people who are working with you. Inclusion is an action. Inclusion is the activities, the corporate climate that is created so that people can be themselves and be productive and be participating in various forums and bring up ideas, feel that they belong to this place. Lastly, equity is the creating new opportunities, is equal chances of people to advance in the profession, to bring up ideas. And this is exactly a function of the previous two, the diversity and the inclusion. Can we be more diverse? I don't know, but for sure we can be more inclusive. Most probably we are more diverse than we think we are. But for sure we can always strive to be more inclusive. And in this respect, Eurocontrol accepts its role that we have internal responsibility to be welcoming people from different nationalities and backgrounds to work with us as our staff members. But we also have responsibility because we participate in so many other international forums. We welcome so many international groups who come here in our headquarters premises. So we have to have that extra sensitivity to the culture to be sure that the conversations are flowing nicely, that there is a tolerance, that the good ideas can be heard. And that, I think, is one of our biggest challenges, to spread the understanding of why it is so important to work on inclusion and diversity, to raise awareness on all levels.
Thank you, Milena, for clarifying that. I think that's a very important point. Tamara, do you agree? And what are for you the challenges for more diversity in aviation, or more inclusiveness, actually, following Milena's explanation?
No, absolutely. I fully concur with everything that Milena said. And what I just want to maybe add to it, we have to think about, you know, what is our main goal here? Because we are already looking into a shortage of staff in many areas of aviation. And I don't know what is happening, whether the aviation itself is maybe losing this edge or this coolness in a way. And we need to attract young people. We need to make aviation more attractive and more progressive and a cool again. So we need to change something, because obviously they don't see us as anymore the top notch, maybe, industry as we were in the past. So maybe the diversity is not a problem, or at least is not a problem in some areas, but obviously the acceptance part and the inclusion part are. And we need to find a way also to how to include the people from a different backgrounds, you know, different experiences, different opinions, because these are the only things that actually help us, this diversity of opinions that will help us actually to progress. Aviation in itself, it's unfortunately, historically, we see the lack of representation, because it's usually dominated by white male. And some groups like women or minorities are being significantly underrepresented. So we need to address this issue, and we need to try to address all the stereotypes and biases that are actually quite often connected with our industry. The other challenge is actually, at least in my opinion, are financial barriers, because entry in aviation can be quite expensive, both from the academic just a stand, or maybe if you want to go through the professional career of air traffic controller or pilot, there is a huge financial burden. So maybe the first step would be to actually take a couple of steps back and look at the sponsorship opportunities or mentorship opportunities that industry can actually do in order maybe to attract the people from underrepresented parts of the society.
I think that already partly addresses some of the things I wanted to discuss next. There are, of course, like you say, possibilities or approaches for organizations to consciously address this. At Eurocontrol, for example, in the selection of new applicants, our colleagues in human resources take care that the selection panel is as diverse as possible to ensure the best decision making. And also Eurocontrol has put a lot of effort in recent years into making our careers as attractive as possible, actually initiatives that you were closely involved or in lead. I think it's a good point to talk about the initiatives that you are involved in to create more DEI. Milena, maybe you can start us off on the work that you do.
Thank you. Tamara already mentioned quite a few interesting points, and it's good to reflect on them. D&I is not one point action, check mark, and off you go. You have to reach wider outside and inside your organization, and you have to take into consideration many factors for applicants, but also for retaining staff, for promoting internal staff, for collaborating with others. Aviation as a whole is a connected industry. None of us is working on its own. For aviation to do its mission to transport people and goods safely across continents, to connect people, we all need to communicate with one another. We are dependent technologically, we're very connected. So we are also on the human points or human aspects such as diversity and inclusion. What we see is enormous political will from the societies to have to be more inclusive so that we have more equity overall. This is what we try to translate also in aviation. We see the ICAO NGAP program that is being revived, and we as Eurocontrol participated in the last ICAO Global Summit, which was specifically dedicated for reaching out on gender. And why is that? Because gender is one of the biggest groups of people that we see quite discrepancy between the different genders participation in aviation. We also see from a regional level, on European level, a lot of will coming from European Commission. Eurocontrol, as many other companies, are participating at the DigiMove platform for change. We have signed a declaration for equal opportunities in transport for men and women, and we support them with our ideas, with our documents, with our activities. In addition, we saw that COVID posed a different set of challenges for aviation. It created a perception of insecurity in the professions, and it was for many people very difficult to say, all right, how do I advertise to get new applicants if the industry is struggling. So we organized exchange of best practices. We recorded them, and these are posted on the Eurocontrol training zone. I would encourage your listeners, our listeners, to check them out. Fantastic pieces of gold with practical down-to-earth point that you can reflect on, you can connect, and you can connect with people from there. EASA and Eurocontrol, along with quite few other companies, I'm afraid to forget everybody else, we're trying to set up a toolkit, because we recognize that each company, each country is in a different part of the journey of developing diversity and inclusion. So we are collaborating together, and we hope to continue working on this. We see Eurocae has a new working group that also is dedicated on specifically recruitment, reaching out to the next generation. In simple language, in aviation, we exchange on so many other things. It makes no sense to not exchange best practices in diversity and inclusion. It can bring a lot of economies of scale. I have to bring up the economists here, because we work all in English. We work very similar certified jobs, and it easily can translate from one setting to another. I have to say a few words as well that human factors, safety specialists, academia, industry, the human resources specialists are also important partners in that journey. So the work is wide, the work is on many prongs, and we welcome networking with many other people.
That's really great. That's really great. And now, of course, we also want to hear from Tamara about her work with Avior.
Yes, quite impressive list, actually, Milena, and thanks for sharing. Avior itself is trying to, because we are a set of practitioners, D&I practitioners, I would say, and like Milena said, we are all bringing our experience from either our institutions, associations, community, and we are trying to exchange these best practices. So one of the things that we do actually several times each year is that we are organizing panels with the industry leaders, so CEOs or, you know, high-level managers, where they can actually exchange these best practices, but also raise the awareness of the importance of the D&I on all levels, not just because we need to share the message even on a leadership level, you know, why this is needed and actually what you can do about it. The other thing we can do, and we do actually, we've done twice with Eurocontrol, is the Aviation for Girls event. Basically, this is our flagship event that we're trying to promote the STEM within the young people and to bring them closer in general to the aviation and to show them the variety of careers available and actually to show them there is a diversity in itself within the aviation. The last year event, for example, in 2022, which was hosted by Eurocontrol, brought together some over 120 kids from 21 different nationalities. We managed to have in place over 35 companies and representation from some high-level experts from different parts of the industry. We had amazing role models of similar age or just a little bit older than them, so they can actually relate much more. We had a hands-on activities. They could fly an aircraft. They can try to be an air traffic controller. They can fly the drones. So we tried in a fun way to both educate them and actually tell them there is a place for them in the future industry. So, yeah, and I think we will just try to do more and more.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a great event. I remember having this a young pilot, young female pilot, young air traffic controller, and they told their story, and it was really fascinating. Now, what advice do you have for listeners who are thinking, wow, these are the kind of initiatives I'd like to be involved in?
From my perspective, join Avior. We always need a helping hand. I mean, from a personal point of view, if you want to volunteer, if you want to be engaged from even your company side, you know, by all means, contact us, join us. We are even this year organizing again yet another Aviation for Girls event to which Eurocontrol again will participate in Amsterdam. But even as a professionally, I mean, Milena and I mentioned already several different platforms and associations where people actually can contact and find their place and how they can actually help. But if you're completely unsure, you know, what you can do, you can always contact Milena and myself. We will be more than happy actually to help you with it.
That's really good. And Milena, maybe one sentence or a couple of words from your side, what people should do if they're interested in these initiatives?
For me, the most important is don't be a bystander. Do participate. There are, I'm sure, a lot of internal to each company initiatives. There are a lot of external initiatives. Each participation helps to raise an aspect. We cannot stress enough how blind sometimes we can be to how unknown aviation is to a lot of people in the society, and the professions that are invisible to the passenger at the airport, it largely are staying hidden as well. That's why it makes sense to participate, to open up, to connect. There are a lot of simple things. For example, in Maastricht, we have a group we call Diversity and Inclusion Think Tank. We organize connected lunches. We organize different chats with our managers on cases, study cases of different dilemmas connected to inclusion or diversity. We go to the movies together. If you want any more ideas, check out the platforms we mentioned earlier and just connect. Let us know.
Excellent. Oh, this is very good. Milena, I wanted to ask you, because I read a recent article, you wrote that international cities such as Amsterdam or London are already super diverse, meaning that the biggest ethnicity of their population is less than 50%. In addition, we see a generational workforce overhaul where younger people are influenced more by values and culture than financial reward when choosing a workplace. In your view, what are the consequences of that for recruitment and work, and especially in aviation?
Thank you for this question. It's a really good question to unravel some of the intricacies working with diversity and inclusion. In many public publications or articles, diversity is always held as, oh, it's so good to have it because you have better financial performance, you have better productivity, it's all better all for the company. Well, the science is not so unilaterally agreeing on this. Actually, a lot of scientific studies refer to diversity as a double-edged sword. In essence, diversity is good, but only when you're ready for it. And back to the diversity that already exists in the society. Think about it. 50 years ago, we all largely lived in monocultural societies. In our schools, in our universities, we were raised in a largely monocultural climate. None of us has been through such a diversity experience. And we have to prepare ourselves, we have to prepare our teams, we have to prepare our organizations, we have to prepare our industry to work with people coming up from different angles, aspects, different corners of life. What happens if you don't? Well, if you don't, the enjoyment of the different knowledge, the different aspects that are being brought actually can create more conflict in the teams. That's why for everybody, it's important to raise awareness, be curious, be tolerant, be respectful, to learn about where the other person is coming from, what is behind the words that are being said. Can I work better with a different teams in a different way? Only when we learn this, what I call it, a diversability, only then we actually can benefit from the diversity. And that is in the inclusion part of it. Only if we have inclusion, we can be attractive, we can be productive, we retain people. There is a lot of innovation that will bring us to the next 20, 30 years.
That is so interesting. I've never, you know, I think this is the first time I've come across this explanation, and it makes so much sense to me. Tamara, because you exchange views with a young generation of aviation enthusiasts or those that are potentially interested in becoming passionate about aviation, what aspect of aviation do you think meets the zeitgeist most or least?
Well, at the moment, I think one area that undeniably meets this zeitgeist is sustainability and this eco-consciousness. The climate change is becoming, you know, finally a real deal, and it's ever-pressing concern at the moment. So I see that that the young generations are not only seeking the thrilling careers, but they also expect to be driven by the desire and to reduce the carbon footprint. And they also expect this from the aviation industry itself. But also on the other hand, or contrary, one area that they might struggle with when it comes to aviation is not so much the lack of diversity, although in some areas that is the case, but also the lack of inclusivity. And what I mean by this, because the world they are living in, as Milena mentioned, you know, now is very much diverse. And when they join the industry, they don't see necessarily that around themselves. And they're pushing the industry actually to introduce these new D&I policies to make the environment more inclusive and more diverse. So once they join in, they will not feel excluded. And I think this is amazing, actually, opportunity for the aviation itself, because we are living in a world where in the next, I don't know, 30 years, there will be some 65-70% of careers which don't exist today. And we rely on the skills of people today to actually keep the aviation future alive. And we need them. So we can't lose this battle. So we need to address these issues on time.
Very good. As a last question to both of you, maybe Tamara, you can start us off with this last question. What would you encourage aviation organizations to do to increase DEI?
Well, be proactive, first of all. Don't wait for the problems to appear. Be proactive. And what I mean by this, and I mentioned, I think, at the beginning, is we need to bring young people in, and we need to bring the diverse pool of people into the aviation world. So we have to think about outreach programs, the sponsorship programs that will bring these diverse kids under our umbrella. We need to introduce maybe scholarship and mentorship to bring this financial gap to attract people who maybe are not in a position to afford the aviation education. But also we need to work very hard to foster the inclusive workspace around us and an inclusive culture. And this goes from the unconscious bias training to diversity and leadership courses, everything that we can do within our organizations actually to educate people from all aspects of the levels within the company. And most importantly, I think that we need to have the support networks for the diverse groups within the organization, and we need to listen to them, because that's why we need constant feedback from them. Is this thing that we are doing actually working? Do you feel better now? Do you feel more included in your environment, work environment? And for all this, I mean, you need the data. You need the targets, so your goals are clear, and you need to monitor this in order to be effective, because there is no point of introducing a bunch of policies and different measures if you don't know whether you're moving in the right direction. And the last thing I just want to say is that people need to accept and celebrate diversity, because without the diversity and inclusion, I mean, we're going to be a history. There is no future for aviation.
Thanks a lot, Tamara. Over to you, Elena.
Be positive about it. Do not approach on a punitive way implementing diversity and inclusion. From all studies, we see that backfires. Invite people to the conversation instead of making it mandatory. Invite people to look into the data, so to understand why the data is, where it comes from, what can be done, what can we learn, from whom we can learn, and support the NGOs, for example. You don't need even to do many of the things alone. Support the NGOs, they'll be more than happy to work with you. Support some academia studies, they'll be more than happy to do some study for you. Support other international activities, they'll be more than happy to collaborate, so that we all achieve that better future for aviation.
So many great points and so much good advice here. We're coming to the end of our podcast. For those of our listeners who would like to learn more about the topic of DEI, I recommend you read the autumn edition of Eurocontrol's Skyway magazine, which has some interesting articles. Thank you to Tamara and Milena for sharing your insights, and thank you to our listeners for joining. If you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe.
Raising the Aviation Bar. from the ground to the sky.